Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Psalm 19, verse 14. Prologue. Sarah Campbell. It is daytime, but the path is dark. The stench of decomposing vegetation mingles with the scent of ripe muscadine grapes. Ruby-throated hummingbirds chirr. The trunks of bald cypresses and tupelos are swollen with water, their branches laden with pitch-green moss. A cottonmouth slides by me, and then bloodhounds, I do not know how many, surround me, and my sight dims until all I can see are silver outlines of the dogs. As I twirl amid the animals, I hear their labored panting, and images flood my brain of conical teeth tearing off my face. Sweat soaks through my lady's maid garment. I yell, "Help! Please! Somebody help me!" No one answers. I wonder when the hounds are going to rip my flesh into shreds, and in an attempt to quiet my heart, I think about my life at the plantation, regretting that I came to the edge of this feral lair. I arrived here after walking beyond the slave quarters, and I am far from Allen Hall, the residence of my master and his family, where my mother, Emmeline, my sister Belle, and I toil. It is 1852, and I am 16. We belong to Cornelius Allen, Esquire, master of a 7,800-acre plantation called Allen Estates in Benton County, Alabama, who owns more than 400 field hands and more than 200 other slaves who labor in the stables, the smokehouse, and the dairy as carpenters, seamstresses, gardeners, cobblers, and in other trades. 25 of us work in Allen Hall. My mother manages the kitchen and a house that has a ballroom, a library, guest quarters, and family apartments. The fields where the slaves labor are continuous furrows of cotton plants with space for a field hand between each furrow, and the roads are wide enough for carts between every 50 furrows. Overseers holding rifles sit in their towers. Others are on horseback with guns and whips at their sides, and there is a jail and an infirmary for the slaves in this area. Now the palms of my hands dry, and I take slower breaths and my vision returns. One hound is about 2 yards in front of me, and 3 dogs are farther away at the bog's edge. Each beast is black and tan with pendant ears, and weighs about 150 pounds. I step toward the swamp and the dogs snarl. I move back and they are quiet. Then I slowly back away from the swamp's edge. The dogs do not move. When I am 20 yards away, I turn. I run and I run, even though I do not hear the hounds chasing me. I run until my chest and feet hurt, and then I fall to the ground and rest. My mother told me never to go to the swamp, but she did not say that the warning was because bloodhounds are stationed there to prevent us from escaping. In 2 years, I will learn, among other lessons, that slave catchers also use the dogs to catch slaves when they flee.